Hello and welcome to another episode of Old Faces. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha. Joining me is my co-host for the evening, Mr. East Coast, Craig McKinney.
What's up?
So we are Splash Mocha, coming back again. We've actually been having a lot of, well, everybody's been having a lot of fun but me because I keep fucking falling asleep. But we have the cocktail party coming up here in about 30 minutes. Man, it's so much fun stuff to talk about. Yes. We would have started earlier, but I've met one of my new best friends here at Splash Mocha. You know, his first time here, and we were just running our mouths. So now,
well, you gotta remember, it's not only their first time here. This is their first. Remember, this is their first
everything.
Anything.
Yeah,
anything. So
yeah, actually. I'm actually excited about them because after being in this for so many years, you meet couples all the time, and you can kind of pick out the couples who are going to be around. You can pick out the couples who are going to be influential. So, like, man, super cool guy, super cool wife. She came in right away and explained why she was nervous about it. She broke down what kind of scares her about it, which is weird because a lot of people get into the lifestyle and they don't even know why they're afraid. So that to me is exciting. And then they've been here, they've been social, she's been social, she's been flashing that smile more. First day she came in, she kind of hit it. Now she's, you know, we're at Saturday and she's not afraid to smile. So yeah, I'm excited.
I think kind of that's the testament of Splash Mocha as well, because as we've continually said, Splash is a very welcoming place, you know. And every person that you talk to here, you meet people. You may not meet them, but you cross somebody that's walking through the hallway, and everybody is hey, how you doing? Good morning. Hello, how you doing? Nice to meet you. So it's a very welcoming place. And I think that has made them feel more comfortable to maybe not, I mean, again, because this is their first time, maybe they haven't felt comfortable with playing because they've never done anything whatsoever.
Yeah.
But at least it's made them more comfortable to be here, at least, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm it's exciting to meet new friends. And
it is.
I can't explain in words how much the lifestyle has changed my life. And for us, we know what it's like for us to have this connection. For new people in lifestyle, like for them, you may not say to yourself, oh, you know, we just met these guys and they say we're going to talk and we're going to hang out. Yeah, whatever, they don't mean it. But for us, we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like the first time I met him,
right.
We've been connected since. Man, that's it. You know, he's been in my home. He knows that I'm going to be in Atlanta. You know not to stay in the hotel. You know, if you call me and say I'm staying in the hotel, you better have a fucking business meeting an hour away.
Right.
Or it's like, was right. My home not good enough for you?
Right.
I mean, I kicked all the pet roaches out before you told me you're coming. What the fuck is going on? so those are the type of the friendships and relationships you build. So we are looking forward to that. But, Craig, we have the cocktail party coming up.
Yes.
What are we going to be looking forward to seeing?
Well, the cocktail party, I mean, I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast a couple times. I have a group on Telegram. It's a pretty exclusive group, very kind of exclusive. So what happened was, to give you a little bit of history about it, what happened was a couple years ago, probably a little more than 2.5 years ago, coming up on Houston, there were some people that said, hey, I've heard that cucks were not welcome at Splash. And I was like, well, that's not true. You know, so I created this group on Telegram where it was, and I invited a couple cuckold couples and said, hey, no, I want you to understand that you are welcome at Splash. You are welcome. You know, you're a part of the lifestyle and we want you to be here. And so it started out with just a few people and, I invited a couple cuckolds, and originally it was just the cucks. It wasn't the mistresses. or the really? Cuck cultures. Yes, that's how it started out. It was just the cucks. And then there was a couple cucks who they went through their wives. And it was like, okay, so you know what? I'll add the wife so that way you can see what is going on in the cuckold corner. And it kind of just grew. After Houston, I was like, well, you know what? Why not let the wives in as well? So it was the cucks.
So this group that you're speaking of was not a it's a Telegram group. So it was a virtual group, basically.
Yeah. It was okay. Again, it's on Telegram, and it was just something that, again, it just started kind of, you know, I just want you guys to be comfortable with being in Houston. And it just kind of after Houston, it was like, well, why not just keep the group? You know, people are comfortable in here, so it became okay. So we'll invite more people, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew. So, but again, it's a very exclusive group. We don't want people in there, you know, just to. My thing is, if you're in there posting, you know, there now we do go into where we post pictures and stuff like that, but for the most part, you don't see a lot of pictures in there. But it's a lot of informational stuff about how. Cages fit, what's the best cage for somebody, and all sorts of stuff. But then there's other stuff that happens where there's just a lot of discussion, you know, where one person in particular, I don't think she would mind me saying her name. Her last name is Woodstock. But she messaged me one day and she was like, hey, I got a question for you. And I was like, this is a good question to ask in the cuck group. And she was like, you have a cuck group? I was like, yeah. So I asked the question in the cuck group. I added her, and my intention was to delete her afterwards. And she was like, please do not delete me from this group. We are not in a cuckold dynamic, but I love how things are in this group where we can discuss things. You know, if you have a problem with anything, it's not only cuckold discussions. It's about, you know, a lot of different things. So she's like, they're not in a cuckold dynamic, but she's still in the group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great because there's a lot of stuff in there, not only, again, cuckold dynamic stuff, but lifestyle dynamic stuff. And I don't mind inviting people, but it's all about, you know, you need to understand that this is not your typical Telegram or any sort of group where, you know, it's conversational.
Mm-hmm.
And not just...
And there's a certain... Now, here's the thing. I'll tell you, honestly, I had to beg to be let into the group. You know, I noticed that he had this group, and I kept hearing about this group. And, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I heard about this group, you know, after, you know, he'd already fucked my wife, and after he'd been to my home, and, you know, he said we were best friends, all of this stuff. And then, you know, I hear from some random citizen.
Me too.
So I heard from some random... about this cuckold corner group, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Can you please introduce me to the owner of this group? And then I find out that the owner of this group is none other than my friend, Craig McKinnon. I was hurt. I was devastated. So I called him, and
you
know.
Didn't even call him. You just sent me a message.
Wait, was it abrasive? I'm not sure.
No, it wasn't abrasive, but you sent me a message.
Yeah, I send him abrasive shit all the time. So I don't know about I don't know where we were on that day. I don't know. You'll find out soon. So I was like, can I get in the group? He was like, I'll get you in the group. So I've been busting the chops about it. But the cool thing about the group, the thing I like about it is all the people in the group can be vulnerable. And when I say they can be vulnerable, there's certain questions that they can ask that in most groups people be like, holy yes. shit, did you just yes. say that out loud? It's weird to say this, you know, and because I'm the first one to knock a lot of the weird shit that goes on in the world today. So I'll use the term safe space. There's a space for people who are in the community to ask any question, no matter how uncomfortable that question may be, because, you know, in the cuckold groups, as men, there's certain questions that we're not used to asking. There's certain things that we're not used to seeing, you know, guys, for us, because, you know, we've kind of, for us doing a podcast and stuff like that, we're used to getting those questions. But I was not used to seeing those questions in a group where a bunch of people right. would hear. Right. So that was a really cool thing. And then just watching the level of comfort that these guys had, and the sensation that there's no judgment.
In fact, no judgment whatsoever.
You'd get judged for judging, which is nice. I mean, it's nice because you can be direct, you can ask a question, and you got all of these people who, even if people don't agree with you, they will say why they don't agree, but it's not in a derogatory way.
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's why, again, going back to the picture thing, it's not a group where people will just post pictures. I call it fishing, where it's like you're fishing, you're sending out. Because most of the time, I mean, let's be honest, if somebody posts a picture, it's about how sexually prowess they are. You know, it's like, okay, I'm showing this because I want someone to understand my dick size or something like that, you know. So, like I said, I call it fishing. But the group is not about that. It's about, like you said, you know, we come in there, and it is a safe space. It doesn't matter what your kink is, whatever it is. You know, people come in there and they say, hey, I have a question about this. What do you guys think about this? And it doesn't matter what your kink is, no matter what the fuck, anything. People can answer honestly. And if they are not into that, they won't interject it at all in that conversation. You know, there's just, this is what it is. And you get honest feedback on everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I enjoy is, There's this thing with me where, like, if it doesn't affect me, I don't give a shit.
Right.
You know, if it's not going to hurt me, I don't care. So it's not uncomfortable for me to be around a person who I don't relate to. It doesn't make it weird or uncomfortable. And I love the Cuck Corner group, because don't get me wrong, playing with cuckold couples and things like that, there is a relation, but there's also an understanding. There's also things that I personally don't relate to with the cucks. Being a bull, I don't relate to cucks in a certain way. Just like being a dude, I don't relate to my wife in a certain way. You know, that doesn't mean that I don't want to be around her. That means that I don't relate. So in this group, the one thing that I've enjoyed is there's a lot of things that I'm able to see and experience through them and understand them better. That gives me a peek into their world. Just like with our podcast, when the guys are podcasting, we don't filter for a reason, you know. And a lot of people think that, oh, Mr. Mocha can be a dick sometimes. Mr. Mocha talks the way he talks with his buddies when no one is listening. That's how I talk to him on the podcast. Because if you want to really see how guys talk, I'll show you.
That makes for good podcasting.
Yeah.
Too, though. I mean, honesty. You know, you want honesty about stuff, you know? And that's, to me, the best thing about the Cuck group is that it's just honesty. You know, people can come in there and they say, again, I mean, not to harp on this, but it's just, there's no judgment about stuff. If you want to be pegged by a woman, hey, you're going to be pegged by a woman, and
they'll discuss it. Like, you,
right?
They'll talk about, they'll discuss it. They have like really in depth conversation about lots of things that my brain doesn't even take me there. Like, huh? But and it's not that, that's not even a negative way. It's like, I never even thought about that. So that's
the weird thing about the Cuck group too, though, is I don't know if you've noticed it, Mr. Mocha, is that you can sit in there and then throughout the next couple of days there may not be any interaction at all through people, but then you'll look up and there's like 100 messages.
Yeah. Yeah, someone because, says something, all of a sudden it's like, holy
and there's
shit.
There's like a huge discussion of stuff about
Hornet's
that
nest.
Topic.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what happened in here? Let me scroll back and see what happened.
Who said what to who? You know, what topic was dropped? Because that's the cool thing, and it's another thing where anyone can drop a topic.
Anybody
can drop it. And once they pick it up and start rolling with it, it's a snowball, which is great, and to me is very educational when I have time, because then I was like, fuck, I'm so lost. I gotta go back, like, I go back 50 threads, so, like, I'm sitting there reading this shit, like, oh, that's what, you know. But it gives you good insight into that world, and I think it also helps you reduce your level of judgmentalness by experiencing things through multiple people's eyes and multiple people's, you know, vantage points. So,
a lot of people, you know, I've expressed how I've, you know, my journey from nothing through the lifestyle and everything. And that's one thing, one of the first things that I experienced was, you know, BDSM type stuff. You know, so I kind of learned that you don't yuck somebody else's yum. You know, that's one of the things, you don't yuck somebody else's yum. But I went through that, and come on. So that's why if in the cuck group, it's like, if you don't like something, the conversation will change. You know, and if you're into this, you have an interjection. If you don't, you're respectful about what is going on in the group, and you don't say anything. You know, and that's why again, it's not that I don't want people in the group. I want people in the group, but it's like, it's very selective, because I want people who are going to understand that, mm-hmm. and say, hey, this isn't my kink. This isn't something that I'm interested in, but I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, and the second you wind up in a situation where someone makes you feel uncomfortable for being you, people get quiet.
Right.
So now you lose a lot. And, you know, I think that's a universal thing. You know, if you want to learn something about a group of people, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Instead of going in and go, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, like, everybody, oh, shit, let me not say anything out loud. You just go in there and just listen, and people will share, people explain, and at some point, you lose that judgmentalness, because at some point, multiple people are going to explain things, and you're going to start understanding
right. Where
they're coming from, why right. They're coming. And it still may not be your thing. It still may. Listen, I personally, no matter what, there's certain things I'm not going to want to do, but I also am comfortable being in the environment, because I have listened to enough people say it to be like, oh, I can understand and I'm comfortable with that. So when you're putting together groups, you got to make sure you don't put some asshat in there that's going to stifle
right.
it.
Right.
It make everybody uncomfortable being themselves. And it's the knee jerk reaction. Sometimes it is like I know sometimes my face was like, what the fuck? Whoa. And, you know.
I mean, honestly, there's stuff that goes on in the cut corner, too. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what? Let me scroll past that. But, you know, but again, it's no judgment. It's just, you know, don't yuck somebody else's yum. This is what they're interested in. And they will get good information on what is going on. And, you know, and just scroll past that, you know, and it is what it is, you know.
Indeed.
But,
well, the cuck.
I've noticed a couple people started to walk in, too. Yeah.
Yes, it's almost 6:30, so it's time for us to wrap it up. As yeah, always.
So hold on. I can't remember your name.
Tasha.
Yes, Tasha. They are a newer couple, because have you noticed them at Splash before? I've seen them at Splash before. How many splashes is it for you?
I think I may have seen her once.
You've been here before. How many splashes is it for you?
I think it's our
10th.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've been to Splash about 10 times, and they've just now started on the cuckold dynamic. So I thank you for coming. Okay.
Listen, you know, everything is a journey.
It is.
Everything is a journey. You know, so Yeah, but they're definitely, they've been here before.
Yeah, I've seen them before. Oh. I've seen them, I've noticed them before, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's taking things for a ride.
Hey, come up here for a second. Come on up here for a second. And you are, so we were discussing the cuckold, you know, the cuck group and everything like
are
that.
Are you okay talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, So we were just discussing the cuckold group and everything like that. So, let me ask you, what is it that got you interested into that kind of lifestyle?
He actually started it. He kind of, again, we've been in the lifestyle for years and pretty much tried everything. So, of course, we want to explore more and kind of started reading on the cuckold dynamic and benefits and pros and cons. So we started trying it out. He kind of likes it more for the edging type aspect of it.
Yeah.
The denial is pretty hot. I've gotten into it. I didn't think I would, honestly, at first, but it's been fun. And, trying things out.
Okay, so you said you weren't into it at first. Is it something that has kind of grown on you, or?
Or is there a certain aspect that you weren't into?
I think it was the stereotype going into it, that it
yes.
was a weak man, or
yes.
he looked
yes.
down on him, which is totally
yes.
not the case. And so learning that and getting past that, I'm like, that's not what this is about.
I think that... that's something where the cup corner has kind of helped out with a lot of stuff. Because, I mean, even to me, I mean, you see me wearing the Make Cuckolding Great Again hat and all sorts of stuff. But even now in media and everything nowadays, you hear somebody say, oh, he's a cuck. You know, the word cuck has become prominent in a lot of stuff now. And a cuck is supposed to be a weak man who's a sissy and this and that. And being in the cuck corner group, you've learned that being a cuck doesn't mean that it's not a person who's bisexual.
No.
It's not a person who is a sissy or weak or anything like that. It's just a person who, like, I wear my hat, Make Cuckolding Great Again, and if someone asks me, I tell them it's a person who is a female-led relationship.
Didn't he say down?
Where she is more in control of things sexually and in the relationship than what it normally is.
And then keep in mind, like, the term cuckold is the way, within the lifestyle, the way we use the word cuckold is the way people use the word slut. Inside
right.
the lifestyle.
Yeah,
inside
right.
the lifestyle, you can enjoy being a slut. Inside the lifestyle, you can enjoy being a cuck. You know, because understand traditionally, you know, cuckold is an insult. You know, traditionally being cucked is something that is happening to you. You know, so yeah, out in the regular world, I mean, this is a term that's been around for hundreds of years.
Right.
We make it mean something different. You know, but like I've told people before, one of the first cucks that I've ever met was actually one of the toughest human beings that I know, like
right,
military,
right.
like
right.
like real hardcore inside of the scene.
Right.
He was this inside right. the scene, but if we walked outside and you did that
he'll
same thing,
you
might lose something. It feels like arm or leg. So, it's understanding that during playtime,
right?
You know, so it's
right.
that balance of what it's
and
supposed
the,
to be.
And there was somebody in the group actually who said that, and I mean, again, it's something that I've learned from being in the cut group again myself is that, you know, because he is submissive to his wife doesn't mean that he's submissive to you. You know, he's submissive and he wants to sit here and watch and see his wife do this and that, but that doesn't mean, and there was actually somebody in the group who said one time, if you do this, I will fuck you up. This is not, I am an ex-Marine and I am this and that. And he said, I would, no, you're not going to talk to me and treat me like this. You know, yes, I am submissive to her. And again, a lot of people, the perception is if you're a cuck, you're just completely submissive. And this is how it is. And
there's
it's
levels
not
to
how it.
It
is. There's
levels
like the song
to it.
Said, there's levels to
it.
Shit. Like Biggie said, you know, there's levels to it. So, and again, it's something that I learned from having the group where it's like, there are levels. This person doesn't like this. And what you should do is you should talk to that couple before you get into that. Before you start telling me he's a sissy and he's this and he's that. You should talk to them and say, what is your dynamic? I understand you're a cuck. What are you into? It? What are you not into? Can I talk to him this way? Can you do this and that? You know, so
yeah.
Is that something that I mean, I see him back there nodding his head and everything. You know, so is this something that, and you said you were in the lifestyle of what, 15 years? Or is that something that could have deterred you from going into this lifestyle because the perception of how a cuck is? Or?
I think so. This is the typical stereotype, which I believed, you know, not really knowing myself. But after, it's really made him more, I guess, like, focused and, like, aware when we're in that kind of dynamic. He's very much an alpha male, leads his company. I mean, he's control of everything all the time. This is his way of letting go, not having to be in control all the time. It's like his release a little bit, downtime. And it's been really good for us. We've really learned.
How long have you, has it, the transition been into, how long have you been kind of doing the cuckold dynamic? Because I I've seen you several times here, but I didn't know that was a dynamic. When did you start doing the cuckolding dynamic?
About a year ago. Mm-hmm. We've kind of narrowed it down to hot wifing about 4 years ago. Really enjoyed that kind of aspect. And then about a year is when we started exploring the cuckold, the caging, and how that kind of works. It's been fun.
Is he someone who is caged all the time, or is it something? Because again, to me, this is, again, I wear the hat and make cuckolding great again, but there's a lot of shit in there that you don't know, you know? So is he someone who, is he caged? I mean, you're starting out on this journey, so he's somebody that's not caged 24 hours a day. Is he caged only while you are playing, or what is the cage situation with that?
Well, now it's definitely caged the whole event of Splash. Anytime we do a Splash, he's caged until the end. There'll be times at home, maybe a week. We'll go maybe a week or so and see how that goes. Definitely during playtime, it really helps his mindset, I guess.
Kind of help create the scene.
More, yeah, it does. It really does. And he's honestly, like, very attentive. Not even just in the bedroom, but during that week that he's caged, he's attentive to me. He's horny 24 hours a day. I mean, he's very, very just hypersensitive, I think, the whole time. So it's not even just in the bedroom. It's the whole time he's caged. It's really interesting to see him change.
And you know, it's funny because there was one couple that was in the group that said something similar to that, where after he got caged, he was more attentive about everything that happened in the house. He's like, do you want me to clean up?
Yes.
Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this? So, I mean, that's a testament to that in mm-hmm. itself, you know? I mean, so.
And your level of commitment. I think it's really, it's always been interesting to me, like, when I would watch, you know, a cuck who takes his role seriously. And when my introduction to it were with men who were, they were powerful men in the real world.
Yes, yes.
And, like, it's really weird the transition that, like as this thing becomes more popular. So when I, like for me, like I always felt like that was the most authentic because these guys were very powerful in the real world. They were making decisions for people all day, every day. And because of the type of person they were, they took the role serious. And so they would really get into that role. And when you'd had a wife who was willing to get into that role with them, it really brought the best out of their situation, as opposed to the ones where the wife would just kind of be like, okay, I'm going to play along with this so I can get some cock. It really it changes. It's not the same, you know, so it's cool to see that you guys are both getting into that role. And that means that in the beginning, like starting here, like you have so much more potential. There's so much more stuff, and like no one's experience is the same. It's like the whole theory of chaos. It looks the same from over here, but like when you get in closer, like everyone's path is different. So your path is here, their path is there, their path is there. It all looks the same from way back here. But when you get in close and start looking at those details, everybody's experience is so different. And him being willing to say, this is where I'm going, and he's going to put that same energy into it that he's put into being a successful businessman, it's going to be a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, like a lot of people, if you've listened to some of the things that I've done, I've learned that my journey started out in BDSM. And it was like the first girl who I ever like was a, I wasn't a top at the time, but the first girl who I've ever had that experience with, she was like, I spit in her mouth and I did all sorts of crazy shit. She was like, I am the boss of everything. She's like, at home, I'm a single mom. I do this. I am the boss at work. And when I want to get fucked, I want to be completely dominated. And I think that translates also to some of the people who are cucks as well. You know, it's like they want that. And I'm not speaking in your situation, you know, and I don't know your situation, but I know there's a lot of cucks who are the same way. It's like, I want to be submissive in a way because, you know, that is how they feel about it. But in the reality of it, there's a lot of people who are cucks who are some of the strongest people that I know. You know, I don't know if I could go through some of the stuff that a cuck goes through and that happens in their relationship, you know. So, and that's why I kind of hate that perception, you know, you see it going more mainstream, you know, where people talk about cucks, but it's always in a weak way. You know, they always talk about how if you're a cuck, you're a pussy. You know, you're this and you're weak. And that's not the case because, I mean, I don't know if anybody in here, if you know, met Herbie. I've seen Herbie go through some shit. But it's all about pleasing his wife. That's all he wants to do. He will do anything to make his wife happy. I could never do some of the stuff Herbie does. Never. Never. But that's all he does. He does whatever he wants, whatever his wife, whatever his queen wants, he will do to make her happy. So, you want to jump in, man?
Actually, he had the piece. We had the whole spot.
So, as for those who don't know, Michael C. just jumped in. He just walked in, and we got kind of a little bit of an audience now, but Michael C. just jumped in. And I always gotta give a little kudos to this brother right here because, as I was starting down a lot of my journey for BDSM and different types of stuff, Michael C. was one of the first people who I learned some of stuff from. So a little short story was when I know Mike's between 10 and 15 years. It's been about...
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve 2010.
2010? Okay, so 14 years now. So we were up in New Jersey at a hotel party, and one of his...
Well, not one, my slave. You know,
okay, well, there. I mean, I don't want to be throwing out shit.
Well,
you know?
I mean, we talk about BDSM. So, you know, I say so, it on my podcast.
So his slave, he was there with his slave, and we were at a club. We went to a club, and he's like, "Yo, my man, hold this leash for me." I'm like, he had a slave on a leash, and and I was like, what the fuck? Like, so it was wild, you know, for me.
And now look at you with Splash walking around with
right,
a leash.
Right? And now I understand that whole dynamic and everything like that. But this was the dude who kind of got me. I mean, he didn't, it's not like he set me down and mentored me about a lot of stuff. But that is where, because be completely honest with you, I remember walking into places and seeing, I'll never forget walking someplace at home in Buffalo, New York, and seeing somebody with a leash on. Now, this wasn't that type of dynamic, but I'll never forget my experience walking and looking at them and saying, what the fuck is they doing? This is wrong. What the fuck is you doing? But then after meeting this gentleman here and seeing it and going through that and experiencing it, was like he helped me. He gave me, here's your leash. You know, you hold on to this and you make sure. And it's just been a constant progression from that point. But Michael C. is like one of the first people that I ever met in a lifestyle that was like, because I was fucked up.
I mean, that was actually my whole point of doing it, like publicly like that, was thinking that maybe this is somebody's first time meeting a couple like this. So
yeah, I had never met anybody like that.
Let me give them
like
an opportunity
before
to come and ask questions and see what is that dynamic really like, as opposed to what you might read online or, you know, or something like that. So it was cool that you took that away from it, because that was really why I was doing it. Like, it wasn't to shock and boast and anything like that. It was like, hey, maybe these people have never seen a master slave couple. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I had never seen it
before. By being in this
that
environment, maybe they will have, you know, the confidence or the inquisitiveness to say, hey, what is that? What is this dynamic about? And kind of, you know, like I do with the podcast, separate fact from fiction. You know, like, you know, what was funny is I'd taken her to parties and I've had people literally try to pull her in the bathroom and like rescue her, you know, like you don't have to do this.
Right.
You can come home with us. Like, I just like clubbed her over the head and drug her to the party. Like,
right.
Like, but that's how limited people's knowledge is of that. Like, they see it and automatically think, like, much like cucks, like they see a submissive woman and they think, right, oh, weak. And it's right, like, no, it's not weak. Just like with cucks, people see cucks and think, right, oh, weak. And it's like, you're missing right the point.
And that's the thing I kind of touched on a little bit earlier, is that, you know, people, that's how I'm glad that it's more a little bit mainstream, because it gets not only the cuckold dynamic, but the lifestyle dynamic into more mainstream type stuff. But the perception is right now, because if you're a cuck, you're weak.
And, you know, and weak, the beta. It's become like a slang term. It's become a slur to hurl at somebody to try to insult them.
Exactly. That's a perfect point. You know, it is something that's hurled at somebody who is like, if you're a cuck, you're weak, you're base, you're beta, you're and exactly the things that you said, and that's exactly not what it is. So I'm glad that you have journeyed down this and welcome to Cut Corner and everything like that. Blondie, why don't you come up here for a second?
Oh, great.
They want you to wrap it up. They want you to wrap it
up. Okay. So, Blondie and Jed, you guys have been down the cuckold journey.
Yes.
How are you guys with your journey?
Good. I think we're getting older. I'm getting stronger and I'm getting more confident. And he's getting better at listening.
Blondie, I love me some Blondie. I love me some Blondie.
I love you too.
So, but yeah, now we got a room full of people here, and now we're supposed to have our little cocktail party. But so, Mr. Mocha, you want to wrap it up a little bit so we can...
Mike, so you can't be Mr. Mocha?
Nah.
we got a room full of people. As we started out with, Mr. Mocha said we were about to go into our little cocktail party, and now we got a room full of participants and everything like that, so we're going to...
All right, we'll wrap it up. This is Old Faces Podcast. As always, we enjoy having Craig, Mr. East Coast, on hanging out with us, and we're about to jump into the cocktail party. And as usual, if you enjoy listening to Old Faces Podcast, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. That is spelled OFACEZ. And until next time,
don't forget the one.
No, that's only on Twitter.
It's only on Twitter?
It's only on Twitter.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, that was me messing stuff up.